Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we'll feature the candidates for State House District 7. During tonight's forum on KSRM, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here is your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Merrill Sikorski.
Walking in the winter wonderland on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. Good to have you here, and I know we're getting down to the wire now. I know you've had politics up over your earlobes, but I really hope that you would listen to this next forum as we look at the issues that are going to be affecting your life, your children's life, and your great grandchildren's life in the future. We're talking about House District 7 in today's candidate forum. That is a race that's only had two candidates. They've both been Republicans in the primary. It was Justin Ruffridge, the leader vote. Now that vote's going to be taken again on November 8th. Now, ranked choice obviously will not apply here because whoever gets the most votes wins. So, Justin, first of all, I know you're tired. You've been campaigning a lot. It's been certainly a long time. But why don't you give us a little 60-second opening statement? I'm sure you've got one memorized by now. And then we're going to go into asking a lot of questions that maybe some of the people have, don't have, or don't know that are issues.
Well, absolutely. And happy to be here today. And once again, I really hope that people are listening in. Unfortunately, this is our second time, Merrill, for this forum. We're happy to host the one at the Kenai Chamber. And once again, I'm just here by myself. So for those of you listening, you'll hear a lot of me. And I apologize if you get tired of hearing my voice, but here we go. My name is Justin Ruffridge. I grew up here in the Kenai. I moved up here when I was nine with my family. They are both Christian school teachers down the street from here at Wings Christian Academy. They are no longer over there. My mother is a contact teacher with Idea Homeschool. My father works just next door at Builder's Choice. I have two kids, 8 and 7. My wife of 18 years is on this journey with me. I own a pharmacy here in Soldotna, or co-own that pharmacy, along with two others in the state, one in Juneau, one in Girdwood. And, you know, it's been an interesting adventure, and happy to answer all these questions. But we're coming right up to Election Day and excited to see what happens.
Now, we've had these formats before, as you've mentioned. I don't know if I need to change my deodorant or if I've become offensive in some way to your opponent, but somehow we never get in the same room together. However, campaigns change. And things that you have learned. You've been on the city council, but you jumped into this race to go to Juneau to try to give your public service there. Have there been any changes? Have you learned things that you weren't aware of in the last few months of the campaign?
Well, actually, I learned a number of things. The first thing I learned is that going door to door is actually really fun. I was pretty terrified of that at first and didn't really know what to expect. And just yesterday, I was down in a neighborhood in Soldotna and ran across somebody I hadn't seen for a long time who is doing, honestly, the work of heaven. She has been caring for foster children in her home, and many times children with very significant needs. And she's doing it really without any sort of ask for praise or recognition or anything like that. She's just she's doing it because it's the right thing to do. And our community is filled with people like that, who don't ask for a lot except for good people to join them in the fight. And those are the people I hope to represent, because that's exactly my attitude that I'm bringing to this race. You know, I think there's a lot of work to be done, and I hope to join the people that are doing that work and be able to get things done that really, honestly, we've waited a long time to get done. So I learned that going door to door is fun. I also learned a statement that was made to me before I put my hat into the ring, which was politics in Alaska is a blood sport, and nowhere is that more true than on the Kenai Peninsula. That, I learned, was a very accurate statement.
Any dog bites along the way?
Yeah, you know, this last week leading into the election, it's actually, I thought, been a relatively clean race up until now, but there was some nasty grams sent out with my name and face on them, and so I do apologize to those of you who may have received some of those. It's offensive and certainly not the type of campaign that I will ever run. But unfortunately, the people and listeners and folks with mailboxes in this area had to be a part of that. So apologies for that.
Okay, well, let's go on into some of the other issues that people have been talking about throughout the whole campaign to get your views on them. The question would be, if the Constitutional Convention fails, is there a specific amendment that you would want to put forward for consideration as an amendment, not necessarily a constitutional convention?
Yeah, the very first one, and it's one that I hear going door to door all the time, is our fiscal plan and our budget crisis here in this state has reached, critical alert level red. And, you know, this is something that our current representative, you know, had opportunities to look at and do work on for the last 2 years. And, you know, it's been a lot of the same. You know, we passed the largest budget in state history in the last 2 years, even though we knew there was volatility in the prices of oil, and we're seeing the ramifications of that. But the Constitution currently has a spending cap for the legislature within the language. It's been voted on. The people of Alaska still want one. But that spending cap doesn't have any teeth. It's a meaningless piece of language inside of our Constitution. I think we need to pass an amendment to rectify that and make a spending cap that's reasonable.
So would you agree then that the Constitutional Convention is unnecessary?
I'm a no vote on the Constitutional Convention, and I'm a no vote for a lot of different reasons. I'm not afraid of a Constitutional Convention. I think if it gets called, it's the responsibility of the legislature to put forward the pathway to get one done. Unfortunately, I've been around the political arena in this state for long enough to realize that our idea that we're going to come to some sort of consensus at the end of a four-year process and vote on something that's wildly different and move forward with that constitution is a pipe dream. What we'll probably end up with is the exact same constitution at the end of 4 years, and then we'll all maybe hate each other a little bit more at the end of it, which I don't really have a lot of time or patience for.
And about $10 to $20 million less money.
Sure, yeah. Let's spend some of that on something that gets us nowhere, which sounds like a good thing that government should be involved in.
Okay, Justin, we live in a community where radio is still actually popular. People listen to it. And as we send representatives down to Juneau, we expect them to stay in touch with us. But with all the new social media and all the other aspects of communication, how will you stay in touch with your constituents when you're elected?
That's a great question. And I don't know if you came up with that one or if that was sent in, but that's an awesome question. And I've actually been thinking about that a lot myself. As a constituent currently, I've actually been quite frustrated. It was one of the reasons why I chose to run, was that lack of personal touch and representation that we currently had here. I will say that that Senator Peter Michicki and his office has always been very responsive to me. But our current representative here, I tried to work with a number of times, and especially on really important legislation that ended up passing. And I could get no responses to emails or text messages or calls to the office. And that's frankly to me unacceptable. And I've heard that from many people on the campaign trail, that they've had the exact same experience. And so one of the ways that we can stay in touch is by honestly having a staff that prioritizes that. So, one of the things you need to have a good head on is personnel management. That's something that I've done well throughout my tenure as an employer in this area. And I think that my business shows that we're responsive, and we hold response to people in high regard. Also, when you come back to your home territory, I think you need to be available. You need to be, right now I'm doing talks at the train on Thursdays at 9. People can come and talk to me about any issues. I don't see any reason for that to stop. Senator Michicki has Thursday mornings with Dwayne on Sound Off, and Dwayne has already asked if I'd be willing to do something similar. I think that's a great time to call and take questions from folks, and I think there's a lot of ways to stay engaged.
Great sacrifice. Anyone who will talk to Dwayne is really putting themselves out
now,
there.
So
just want to let
I have
that
to be
known.
On with Dwayne at 10 in the morning, so let's not get him riled up.
For thousands of years, fisheries have been an issue here on our local communities. When limited entry went into place, it moved into a very political, heated situation, and has been ever since. Have you learned anything? Have you gleaned issues and how we can improve this fishery war that seems to be never ending?
Yeah, I've been happy to be actually endorsed by a large variety of fisheries organizations, and I've had to put on my thinking cap and my learning cap. I've obviously grown up here, so I know a lot of commercial fishermen, a lot of sport fishermen, And frankly, in those conversations, one of the biggest things that we keep coming back to is the Board of Fish. And the fact that the Board of Fish is a consistent fighting place back and forth, you know, is it currently, you know, skewed a little more to the commercial side, or is it skewed to the sport fish side? And I think that's a wrong way of managing our fishery. One of the things that consistently comes up as a topic is why aren't we having, you know, biologists involved in Board of Fish decisions? And that's something that I think I would be really supportive of, is adjusting that structure on the Board of Fish, where we have, you know, for example, we could have, you know, two sport fish seats, two commercial seats, two biologist seats, and then one public member, or something along those lines. And I think that's a conversation that we'll have, obviously, after the election and as we move forward. But it's always contentious. And I think if we can take away that, you know, where one side is holding power over another, that would be a really good place to start.
Good points. You're listening to Decision 2022 on KSRM. This is House District 7 for the legislature. There are two candidates running. There is one on the hot seat here today, and we'll be back right after this break.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
And we're glad to have you back on KSRM at 22 minutes past the hour. I'm Merle Sikorski, and we are drilling the candidates. Well, no, the candidate. There are two candidates, but there's only one with us here today answering the question, and that is Justin Refuge. Refuge.
Sure, yeah. I'll be a refuge in the storm.
Yeah, the Justin Wildlife Refuge. And his opponent's the incumbent, Ron Gilham. We threw the question out there about the Constitutional Convention, Justin, because it's one of the things that is being discussed a lot about a yes vote to open up the Constitution, because people seem to be unhappy with the way we elect our judges. And after having reviewed the judges' pamphlet, excuse me, the voters' pamphlet that the state sent out, I was very impressed with the amount of information and the simplicity that an uninformed person like myself could make a decision on: is this judge doing a good job? Do we want to recall him? Or have the people that know what we need at our benches making the decision? Tell me how you feel about the changes in the way we elect our judges or don't elect our judges.
Sure. I mean, I've definitely been a part of these conversations. I know there's a lot of frustration with the Judicial Council and how those, you know, votes are put in place in order to put judges in place in the first place. I said place a lot of times, but there is certainly a lot of information within the voter pamphlet about the vote for us as the people to elect our judges again. I think one of the things, you know, that that comes up often is that we just, you know, for a person like myself who doesn't have a lot of interactions with the judicial system, sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind, and then we're asked to make an informed decision on something that really we don't have a lot of information about. But to your point, there is a lot of information pushed into that pamphlet. And so I think, you know, I have a number of my friends who are attorneys in this area, who do a lot of work inside the judiciary. And are there changes that need to be made inside of our judicial system in the state of Alaska? The answer to that is yes. As far as whether the way to get that started is a constitutional convention, I still think the answer to that is no.
Okay, moving ahead, it's been said that you support mandatory vaccines, or you supported mandate vaccines, and that you would be simply a lobbyist for the pharmaceutical companies. Your response?
Well, first of all, I'm definitely not a lobbyist for pharmaceutical companies. I'm an independent pharmacy business owner, so I'm a small business owner, just like the folks that own Odie's or Lucy's Market or the bookstore or a large variety of other small businesses in this area. I have no dealings with. I don't have any personal investments in any pharmaceutical industries. My job is to care for people, to care for patients that come into my front door who need medication, who have been prescribed medication. And that really runs across a wide spectrum of people. We have a lot of individuals who really prefer natural health, and so we have a lot of options for that. We compound medications from scratch. We have a large section of vitamins and supplements, but we also have medications that we would call more in sort of the Western medicine type of vein, and that's, you know, classic pharmacy, where you count out tablets and dispense them and counsel patients on their use, ensure that they don't have any drug interactions or anything of that nature. We do give vaccines. That's actually something that pharmacists have been engaged in for a long time. But it's not just COVID vaccines. We give a huge number of vaccines. At no point have I or anybody that I work with ever approached or supported mandating of vaccines. Well, we certainly provide education. We provide support for people that you know, are thinking about getting a vaccine, who are worried about getting a vaccine, and that's true of everything beyond just COVID. One of the vaccines that a lot of people, you know, struggle with and have a fear over is actually the shingles vaccine. One, people hate shingles. They get it once and they usually want a shingles vaccine. But then the shingles vaccine is actually kind of a harsher vaccine to get as well. And so that's one that we do a lot of education and things regarding. Truth be told, a lot of our healthcare in this pandemic got politicized. I feel like that is wrong. That really the only thing that should have been happening in that was giving doctors, pharmacists, nurses, and other healthcare providers support and care, self-care, time to try to do our jobs well. And I feel like my staff and I at the pharmacy here in Soldotna, other medical providers in this community did an absolutely incredible job through COVID. And in truth, our state actually fared better than almost every other state in the union. We stayed open. Our businesses stayed open. We didn't mandate anything. We didn't have any mandatory business closures on the Central Kenai Peninsula. We had low hospitalization rates, low death rates. In fact, to be really honest with you, Merrill, the fact that this has become a topic of conversation in a political campaign is frankly very frustrating to me, because I think that if anything, there should have been a lot of people saying thank you rather than giving somebody a hard time about it.
Well, indeed, some people did say thank you.
You
did.
Thank
Chamber
you,
of Commerce, you were Person of the Year. You received other awards, so I won't make you respond to that because you're already blushing. You're such a shy guy. Let's get to ranked choice voting, because
yes.
has there been any change in that in what you're hearing? And what is your stand at this point on ranked choice voting? And if elected, would you support a repeal? And if we're going to repeal it, what are we going to replace it with?
Well, you know, I think this is really interesting, and this is one of the places where my opponent and I differ greatly. And again, I wish he was here to have that conversation. But I heard him and others sort of in this vein of the Constitutional Convention saying the reason we should call a convention is because ultimately, you know, according to our Constitution, all power rests within the people. And so the statement that's made is that we must absolutely trust the wishes and the will of the people. And I agree with that. I agree with that statement in the Constitution 100%. And as a person who has taken an oath to protect and support the Constitution of the state and of the United States, I do think that all the power rests in the people. Well, guess what the people voted for? The people voted for ballot measure 2. It was a slim majority, and there is a huge number of people, myself included, in this community who think that ranked choice voting is confusing and difficult. But it passed, and it passed in this state by a slim majority. And so as a person who does value the wishes of the people, I think that we need to support ballot measure 2 and ranked choice voting until we bring it back to a vote of the people. I think it would be absolutely wrong for the legislature to repeal ranked choice voting, i.e. repeal a vote of the people on their own. So 60 people taking advantage of their limited opportunity to repeal something would be wrong, in my opinion. That being said, I think one of the things that ballot measure 2 brought forward, which is open primaries, is something I hear from a lot of people that they support. Independent Alaskans do not like being told what to do and like having a ballot with all the people on it.
Well, one other thing that the people voted for years ago was a 90-day session, and we are going to ask about a 90-day session. Is it attainable? Will the legislature ever follow the will of the people in having a 90-day session? But we're going to take a hard news break here. You're listening to Decision 2022, District 7, talking to candidate Justin Ruffridge. His opponent is Ron Gilham, the incumbent. And we'll be back with more questions on Decision 22 right after the news break from ABC on KSRM for Kenai, Soldotna, and Homer.
Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we'll feature the candidates for State House District 7. During tonight's forum on KSRM, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here is your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Merrill Sikorski.
As we get into the home stretch of this election 2022, we're talking with candidate Justin Ruffridge, running on the Republican side against Republican incumbent Ron Gillum. Before the break, we were talking about the 90-day session in response to what Justin was saying about wanting to go back to the people. Guess when the people express themselves at the ballot box, they should be listened to by the legislature. However, years ago, we voted to have a 90-day session and then to come home. And we haven't, I believe, had a 90-day session ever since that went into effect. Justin, what is your opinion or what is your stand on having a 90-day session? Can it be done or should we repeal it and go back to just stay down there as long as you want to?
We should have a 90-day session. There's a couple of ways to do that. First would be stop paying people to be there after the 90th day. My opponent is the highest per diem taker in the state legislature over the last 2 years because it can be comfortable to stay in Juneau. You're down there. You're getting paid to be there. So really, you know, you don't have an incentive to get that job done and come home. So I think that's number one, is to have that incentive. We also saw the legislature last year when faced with updates to their per diem pay and other items like that. They voted that down unanimously, only unanimous vote of the session. And so we see where the attitude is, and that's exactly what the people of Alaska don't like. One of the other things that we can put forward is a biannual budget. Instead of fighting about the budget every session, we should have one budget discussion in a two-year period, and we should put forward a budget that lasts for 2 years, and that way we can finish that in the first 90 days and then finish up our legislative work in the second 90 days, and I think that would be a great way to move that forward.
Thank you. Now, the majority of Alaskans, Justin, the voters, are not affiliated along party lines, as you know. Yet after the election, those who are elected and go to Juneau seem to organize around party lines, unless there's a coalition. So the question is it more important for you to organize and have a seat in the majority or to stick to hardcore party lines?
Well, one of the things that I hope to do in Juneau, number one, is to get organized early. I think that's one of the things that we waste a lot of time being organized over the course of, you know, in the last session, it took 30 days for somebody to organize. And I think really what that speaks to is having people down there that can work with other people. That being said, I am a Republican, and so I hope to have a majority of Republicans to caucus with and be in the majority. If I'm not in the majority, I will absolutely find ways to move things forward. I'll probably just be on an island by myself in the minority and be able to be used on good bills as an option for working alongside other people who are putting forward good legislation. I'm not going to be a stonewaller. I think that's sometimes what people find themselves doing, is just saying no to everything that somebody does that they disagree with. That is not my intention whatsoever. But I'm not going to sacrifice things just to be in power. That's not the reason I'm going to Juneau. I would be going to Juneau to represent the people of this district and to do the best that I can to bring forward results for the people that live here.
And what committees would you be interested in serving on?
Well, obviously my wheelhouse is health and social services, so I would certainly welcome a seat on that. Education has been a big priority of mine throughout this race, and have a number of friends that have, you know, been very clear about the needs in our education system, and that's been something I've been very supportive of. So education wouldn't be a terrible choice either. And then labor and commerce, just from a business perspective, I think I can bring some help and some needed insight on that area as well.
Okay, and where do you see common ground, or do you see common ground in the legislature for a long-term fiscal plan? And are there items that you see as non-negotiable in that plan?
Well, absolutely. I think education is non-negotiable. I think we just mentioned that. I think one of the areas that we can work together on and that we really need, I guess I would say my voice in that legislature, is on budget cuts. One of the areas that our budget absolutely can and should be cut is in that health and social services budget. It's one of the largest items that our state has on its payroll. And in a lot of ways, we're getting fleeced by insurance companies, by payers who are using governments in order to pad their own pockets. This is something that I have seen, have been a part of fighting for many, many years. And I think it's It's absolutely a place that this state can save millions of dollars, probably hundreds of millions of dollars, as other states have done, like Ohio and New Mexico. But you need a voice of people who have done that work in Juneau in order to know how to do it. And I think that is absolutely a place that is non-negotiable for me, is to be looking at that.
Now, while this may be the first time you've been asked this question, Justin, but what is your proposed solution to paying a dividend and funding necessary state services all within a balanced budget? Do we need to repeal and rewrite the old statute?
The old statute that hasn't been followed for the last 6 years is still a pretty good statute. I guess I'd have to take a hard look at what the budget looks like after doing some of this work that I'm talking about to repeal some of these budget items that we absolutely shouldn't be paying for. I think there's probably $200 to $250 million in our budget that can be cut, specifically straight out of the health category if we make some very meaningful changes and follow in the steps of other states that have done so. It's going to be difficult work. It's going to be hard to get support for some of that in the legislature because it's difficult things to understand. And so you're going to need somebody who can speak that language. When we get down to it and we see those cuts, I think that at the end of the day, we have the ability to pay a PFD based off of the current statute and also fund state services. Part of our problem is we haven't really taken a hard look at some of these things that we just pay because they're really hard to take a look at. They're very difficult. You have to have people who know inside and out these businesses serving in state office or state legislature or in the state bureaucracy in order to make those changes. And we haven't had that voice yet.
Okay, what's your opinion on the Alaska LNG project? It's been front burner for over 40 years now. What should the state do? What could the state do to bring our natural gas to market with a terminal here in Nikiski?
One of the biggest priorities that our state can do is to prioritize a fiscal plan in the legislature. One of the big things that keeps coming up over and over again is that this state is not a shiny diamond anymore in the eyes of investment. People don't want to put money here because they're uncertain as to whether or not they will earn back that investment over the course of time. And so the state has been volatile for investors. And so if we are going to have an LNG project move forward or any other large resource development, We're going to need to get the shiny diamond back again, and we're going to have a foundation that the state moves forward with and have a real plan that we can actually put forward to investors and say, this is why you want to invest in this state for the next 30 years. Right now, we don't have that. It's a roller coaster.
Diamonds are a legislator's best friend.
Are they? I haven't heard that one yet.
You're listening to Justin Ruffridge. He is a candidate for House District 7 and how and what he thinks need to be done in Juneau. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with more questions on Decision 2022 on KSRM.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
So glad to have you back with us. And I know we're all getting tired of this long political season, but take just a moment to reflect on where you would rather be. What country would you rather be in? Would you rather be in the Ukraine? Would you rather be down in Venezuela? Maybe take a moment to appreciate the fact that, yes, we are interviewing candidates again so that you can have the information, so that you can express your right to freedom and electing our government. With that, Justin Ruffridge is back with us. His opponent is Ron Gillum for District Seat 7. This was a question we asked over at the chamber, Justin, and it's obviously of interest and still is. But if elected, would you prioritize the reopening of the local Kenai office for child care assistance?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, that goes right to the topic that I spoke about earlier, going door to door. For the people doing that very, very needful and difficult work caring for our children in this community that might have parents that are going through rehab or who might find themselves in jail or incarcerated. And we have an issue here in the state and on the Kenai Peninsula with our children's services. We have not prioritized our children the way that we could or should in this area. And that is something that I absolutely 100% will prioritize in my time in Juneau.
Okay, next question. In an extreme time of extreme polarization on issues that affect family, friends, and business community, and with my little intro, I did want to put out there the appreciation for those who have sacrificed their lives, their families, and their sacred honor to have these freedoms with us. What can be done to find consensus and to moderate the divide in state politics?
Well, I think, honestly, we could have had that today. I think it starts by showing up to the hard work. And that's something that my opponent did not do today. That's what it takes. It takes being there. It takes taking some punches. It takes being kind. It takes being a listener. It takes being able to make some hard decisions and have hard conversations. It takes being a team player. It takes being able to listen to people that you might not always agree with. It takes a statesman. It takes a leader. Those are all things that I absolutely am confident in that I bring to this election as a candidate. And it's certainly the thing that I think differentiates me from the person who is not here today. And I think it's very easy to see. Vote for the person that shows up to the forum. That's what I would ask. Because that's ultimately what a 90-day or 120-day session in Juneau is. It's one big candidate forum. What do you think? Why do you think it? And how do you get it from point A to point B if it's important to you?
Okay, thank you, Justin. Earlier you talked about education being non-negotiable, in your opinion. And so is the current education funding formula too low? Is it too high? Or is it just right?
Well, right now, I think that we have a pretty decent education funding system. I think one of the bigger issues at play here is teacher retention. Right now, we're losing teachers throughout our school district and school districts across the state. And one of the big reasons that keeps coming up over and over in conversations is that our retirement system here is not exactly competitive. Currently, teachers that retire from this state are under a defined contribution plan. Many of them are not, they're not able to get any of their Social Security benefits or a very small percentage of their Social Security benefits. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in order to retain and recruit teachers into the state again. And that's the work that I'm committed to doing. There's a cost associated with that. And that cost to run a defined benefit before was not good for this state. So I don't think we need to reintroduce the same thing we had before. But we're going to need to be creative and find a reason for people to want to move to Alaska, particularly into some of the areas where it's difficult to be a teacher. It's rural, it's remote, no road access. That's not exactly, you know, everyone's cup of tea. And so Alaska has to be competitive again. And I think we have failed at that over the course of the last few years. So if people want more of the same, then certainly, you know that you can vote for the same people that have been there. But if you want something different, I think we got work to do.
Okay. And your stand on cash-based forward funding for education?
Well, I think it was a great idea. The legislature tried, and I think, you know, it gives some stability. Obviously, that was ruled as not constitutional. And so that could be an area that is addressed by the legislature to allow forward funding. But, you know, I understand that that takes a little bit of the you know, the bullets, I guess, out of the gun for the current, for the future legislators to, you know, decide what happens with the funding. So I understand why that can't happen, but it would be nice to have maybe an exception for school funding.
Okay, the Supreme Court recently threw the abortion issue back to the states of America. Does Alaska need to revise its abortion laws?
Well, I think, you know, I'm a pro-life candidate, so obviously life is important to me. The issue of abortion is important to me. I've written about this on my website, and I think without getting into, you know, super great detail here on the radio because we're running out of time, you know, people need to go to my website, voteruffrage.com/abortion, and you'll see everything that I think about that issue there. And the truth is there's a lot that we can do in this state, and I think the thing that people agree on absolutely 100% of the time that I've talked to people is that we need to reduce the number of abortions that are performed in this state. Now, the place where we start to disagree is, well, how do we do that? And there are things that we can do right now without even changing any laws in order to promote life in this state. And there are things that legislators have refused to even look at because we want to press on this hot button topic all the time of banning abortion or not banning abortion. And then we miss all of the things that are sitting on the table that we can do right now. things like providing access to resources for young pregnant women, crisis pregnancy centers. We need to be providing access to contraception. We need to have access to good education. We need to have access to housing resources. A lot of the reasons why women choose abortion is financial. It's economic. And so if we are a state that prioritizes life, we need to prioritize women, and we need to prioritize their health, and we need to prioritize their safety. And those are things that we, as the one of the highest states with domestic violence and sexual assault in the country, we haven't exactly done that. And so if we really want to prioritize life, we need to prioritize those two things. It's one of the things that my opponent voted against. That was House Bill 291, a bill to extend the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. For some reason, unknown to me, I wish I could know the answer to this, and it's sad that he's not here to answer it. But the entire House voted yes, practically. It was across party lines. Ron Gillum voted no on that bill. It's unexcusable, frankly. We need to protect our vulnerable. We need to protect those who are victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And this council is one of the big ways in the state that we do that. And we can do better.
Okay. And speaking of vulnerabilities, we're all vulnerable to the price of fuel at this point. As a legislator, a future legislator, or running for office, do you feel that gasoline and fuel oil sellers should be regulated like NSTAR and Homer Electric?
That's a question I don't have a great answer to. One of the things that I do think we need to do in this state, though, is prioritize making our fuel here and then selling it here. I was just out at Marathon Petroleum, and the guys that are working out there and gals, they are so proud of the work that they're doing, and they're proud of the services that they're providing to our state and the amount of fuel and different items that they produce. But we should be able to do more. We have unlimited resources, it feels like, in this state, and sometimes we prioritize shipping that out and then exporting some in, and I think we can do better there and help drive at least our own cost of energy down.
Okay, any ideas on how to help our senior citizens with fixed incomes handle inflation and the high medical costs?
Well, yeah, that's in my wheelhouse. One of the things that we need to do in this state is send out information to our seniors on ways that they can save money. There's lots of different ways to save money on medications, particularly. We need to prioritize our pharmacies in this state. Pharmacies absolutely have information on how to save money, and unfortunately, it's a dying industry. There was 30 independent pharmacies in the state 20 years ago. There's 11 now. And so this idea of the local independent pharmacist providing you care at a cheap price, it's going away because it's frankly becoming corporatized and taken over by these insurers who are padding their pockets. You look at the Fortune 500 list, the top 10 companies 20 years ago were almost all oil or tech. The top 10 companies now, four of them are insurance companies. And so insurance companies are getting wealthy off the backs of elderly Americans. That's wrong. It's something I've been fighting for many years and something that I will continue to fight.
Justin, thank you for the way you've answered our questions today. And we're going to give you about 30 seconds to wrap up. I had one other question about the Capitol move. It's an issue as old as time itself. So you could either say move it or not or whatever, but then give us your wrap up for this segment, please.
Yeah, it's still a vote of the people. It just needs to be funded by the legislature. It would be certainly interesting to bring that up again. But my name's Justin Ruffridge. Absolutely would appreciate your vote November 8th. I think it's absolutely imperative to get out and vote. And here you see today, I'm the person that shows up, does the work, and I hope you vote for the person that does that. If you want to learn more about me, visit voteruffridge.com. That's RUFFRIDGE is my last name. Reach me at 953-3727. Vote Justin.
This is KSRM.